The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. Some weeks ago, in the discussion around, I believe it was around the Brahmaviharas and practicing, learning how to cultivate and practice these qualities in our minds, I brought up a reflective practice as a tool for supporting this cultivation. And I described it, but we didn't get a chance to try it, to play with it. So, and I actually promised that I would do it the following week and didn't do it the following week. So I'm fulfilling my promise and we're going to do it today. So what I'm going to do first is to talk about it a little bit, to describe it. It's really a tool to include in your toolkit, and it's a particularly useful tool for our daily life practice because it's a way of allowing us to think about content or to explore some kind of content of thought in a meditative container. So the basic form for this reflective practice, I like to suggest that for people who are new to this practice, that you begin by settling into a meditation, just in a normal way, however you normally settle into your meditation. Allow your mind to settle down, to still, to stabilize somewhat. So that's how we move into the reflection. But before you actually begin that process, choose a theme or choose whatever it is you'd like to explore in this meditative way. So that might simply be a word that you're interested in, a theme. The theme might simply be a word that you're interested in exploring, like equanimity. And so you could just simply choose that word before you move into the meditation. Or it might be a question that you're interested in exploring, something that's going on in your life. How can I more skillfully meet this particular situation? Something along those lines. So there's a very wide range of applicability for this practice. So choosing a theme that you'd like to reflect on and framing yourself a question or the word that you're going to use in this reflection. Then settling into your meditation for, say, 5 minutes or 7 minutes, however long it takes you to feel like you actually start to settle a little bit. And then allow yourself to consciously think the thought that you had chosen before going into the meditation. That's kind of like dropping a pebble into a pond. You drop the phrase or the sentence or the word into the meditation. And if the pond is relatively still when you drop a pebble into a pond, it's easy to see the ripples that happen as a result of dropping in that pebble. And likewise, if the mind has settled down somewhat, when you drop in a thought into your meditation, you may see some ripples in the present moment. So the basic practice is settle, still the mind, drop in a thought, and then sit back and see what happens. So it's not a thinking exercise, really, except for the process of dropping in that initial thought. It is a matter of dropping that in and then being mindful of what happens in your present moment experience as a result of having put that thought into the meditation. Thoughts may come up as a response. That's fine. We're not trying to not think here, but we are, we're not trying to not have thoughts. I'll put it that way. We're not trying to not have thoughts arise. Thoughts can bring up useful information for us when we're trying to explore a theme reflectively like this. But what I would suggest is if thoughts do come up, notice the thoughts, notice the content of those thoughts, and then see if you can come back to what, so you're not following out after the thought. Don't start thinking about that thought. Just notice that it has come up. So, for instance, if you drop in a word such as equanimity, you might get an image in your mind of a time from your childhood when you felt particularly balanced and peaceful. That's just kind of information. Just notice that image, notice that the feeling in the body that results from that image, and then let go of that image. Don't start thinking about that thought. Don't go back to that time in your childhood and start thinking about that. Just come back to the present moment. After some minutes, then drop the phrase in again. See if there's some more resonance, more ripples that happen. So that's the basic form of this reflective practice. And there's many different ways it can be approached. And what I'd like to do today is to play with this. I'm hoping to do at least two. I'm hoping to do two of these with you, two different ways of doing this. The first one we'll do is relatively simple. And it will be just a word. And I will provide the word for you, so you don't have to think about that. So that'll just give you a sense of what this is like. And then we'll do that for some minutes. And then we'll talk a little bit about what you noticed. And then we'll try another one that's a little bit more complex to give you a sense of how you might use this to work with issues that are coming up in your lives. So since you're pretty settled, we'll only take a few moments to reconnect with our minds and bodies. So just now, letting yourself settle into your meditation posture. Maybe taking a couple of deeper breaths. And allowing the mind to connect with the present moment experience in whatever way is most natural for you. And after a few moments, I will offer you a phrase, a theme, a word for reflection. Kindness. keep coming back to what is happening in your present moment experience. Just noticing how this theme impacts your present moment experience. Kindness. Kindness. What would it mean to bring kindness to your present moment experience? What would it mean to bring kindness to your present moment experience? What would it mean to bring kindness to this moment? So what happened? What did you notice? There's a mic on the floor here.
So kindness wasn't something that was on my mind at all when I walked in here, and so it was sort of a surprise. And so I started thinking about important people in my life that I could be kind to. And then it's interesting because I ended up going full circle and decided to be kind to myself, and that meant being in the moment. And, you know, listening to the noise of the truck was sort of like a symphony almost, mm-hmm. you know, just the sounds. And so that was, I came back to just being kind to myself in the present moment, which mm-hmm. was really very wonderful. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Thank you. That's lovely. Yeah, in the back.
I found the word kindness to be a very peaceful feeling coming over me.
Mm.
Serenity. And then I started thinking about people who had been kind to me, and had I, you know, been kind also. And then as my thoughts kept going, I went back to just the word kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I felt completely peaceful and serene.
Mm-hmm. You know, what this points to, I'll let a few more people speak before I comment. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I missed the plop into the pond the first time. That is to say, I didn't hear the word.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But for some reason, I was kind to myself rather than my usual being hard on myself about. And after a while, it came to me. That is, before you spoke it the second time. So I got it. The first thing that happened was that I recall is I remembered someone being very kind to me at a time in my life in the past. And then I remembered that during the first meditation, it had occurred to me that I could be much more kind to people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of settled again. So that was a nice experience.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else have any?
Before you gave us the word, I was in a kind of a state. I had some images that were conjuring up guilt for me, guilt about real or perceived things I'd done. So when you said kindness, I was immediately aware of the hindrance that drives out that precludes kindness, mm-hmm. which is a state of guilt, which is it's narrow, it's constricting, it's like having blinders on, and well, that was a real wow experience, that there's kindness, there's no room at the end for kindness.
Right.
And then when I realized that, I was able to sort of loosen up the guilt, and then when the kindness came in, it was kindness toward me, letting myself off the hook, forgiving myself, and the feeling was of expansiveness,
mm-hmm.
of a Montana type blue sky that is just, you know, limitless.
Uh-huh. So. That's beautiful. Thank you. And it's really important to recognize, you know, that again, there's no right experience or no right way that this happens. You know, different people had different responses to the words, and yours was to recognize how this obstructs kindness. And then you could, in seeing that obstruction, it began to dissipate and fall away, and then you felt the kindness. So yeah, thank you.
I felt this shimmering, glowing. It's like a twinkling. And then I reflected about last night in meeting this gentleman at hospice that was 95 years old. And I couldn't get any information about him he had kind of, he was in an Alzheimer's phase and had some dementia. But just sitting there and spending time with him, who he was, it was so easy to be kind to him.
Mm.
Just what radiated from him. I mean, his acceptance of saying things like, oh, you have a nice place here, and reflecting on his life. It was just so easy to be kind to and caring to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when you talked about the second phase and dropping into kindness for ourselves, or what it would mean to be kind for ourselves, I had this realization that for me, sometimes it's easier for me to be kind to others than to myself. I mean, it's just easier to project that kindness than to project it in toward myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very potent exercise. Nice.
So partly, I mean, one of the pieces I want to point out here, partly what this exercise does is it taps into the power of thought. And how, when we bring thoughts into our minds, or when thoughts come into our minds, the power they have to alter our experience. We can choose to bring in more skillful thoughts, or we can choose to reflect on themes that will support our understanding of our experience. But know that, I mean, this little exercise perhaps has shown you just how potent the thoughts that kind of come in randomly are. The ones you were talking about, the guilt thoughts, you know, a little thought and boom, you're kind of taken over by it. And so, you know, this exercise shows you actually some of the potency of thought and some of the ways we can use thought a little bit more skillfully. We have to use thought. I mean, there's oftentimes thought gets a bad rap in meditation, because, you know, what our habitual thoughts are, the habitual tendencies that produce most of our thoughts, tend to be rooted in greed, aversion, and delusion. And they make us suffer. And so the movement in our early stages of meditation is to let go of thought, so that we can let go of those tendencies of greed, aversion, and delusion. But we can also use thought skillfully. We can use it to reflect on a theme. So today, in this exercise, I brought in this theme of kindness. What does it mean? You know, some of you noticed how other people had been kind to you, how you had been kind to them, how hard it was to be kind to oneself versus others, things that obstructed kindness. So there's a lot, actually, that came out in the room around this theme of kindness. A lot of wisdom, actually, came out around this theme. So we can bring, when we bring in a thought consciously into our meditative process, if we keep coming back to the present moment experience as opposed to letting our mind think out about the process, we begin to tap into a kind of an inner wisdom, an inner intuition, that, you know, we don't really have access to in our normal thinking mind. So that's why I suggest the settling first, to get a little bit connected with that space of quietness, of quietude, so that the thought can, we can be more present for what the impact is. And the impact in the present moment is where the learning comes. Seeing what's happening as we bring that theme in, that's where that intuition comes, where that inner wisdom can come in, is through noticing how we are responding here and now. So not to think about or try to figure out what we're supposed to know or find out, but just to allow it to unfold, allow it to kind of reveal itself. Are there any thoughts or questions about this, or any more things people would like to say about what they experienced? Okay, so I'd like to try another one. And this one is, it's a little bit different in that it asks you to bring up something more fully in your imagination. So I'm going to ask you to construct something in your mind. So we'll start again with the settling in. Allowing your body to relax. And connecting with your present moment experience in whatever way works best for you. And now I'd like you to recall some time in the past week or so in which you experienced some kind of struggle. Allow yourself to explore this in some detail, recalling where you were, who you were with, if you were with anybody, what you were doing, what was being said, either by yourself or others. As much as possible, stick to the actual event as you recall it, rather than thinking about it at this moment. And as you create this recollection, whether it's through image or however it works for you to create a recollection, notice what your present moment experience is. What emotions are arising? What thoughts are arising? Stay connected with the image for now. But track what is happening here and now in recalling this experience of struggle. Your breathing might be changing, your heart rate. You might notice emotions or thoughts. Staying mindful of how you are experiencing this moment as you recall the situation. And now I'd like you to let go of the recollection and turn more fully towards your present moment experience. And ask yourself, how might you have engaged from a Dharma perspective in that situation? Bringing the Dharma to bear on the situation. And let that go for a moment. Settle back into the meditation. And allow yourself to connect with whatever Dharma wisdom you found that might support that situation. And envision yourself going back into that situation with this Dharma wisdom in hand. And again, noticing what is happening in your present moment experience as you do this. Keeping coming back to your present moment experience as you engage in this reflection. So what did you notice with this one? What happened for you with this one?
The struggle that I picked and it hasn't quite resolved itself is I'm looking at potentially two job offers. One is the struggle, and I had a final interview, was that it could be a lot of work. It's a startup. And the struggle, it's good money. I think I'll be highly valued. It's a small company, but I talked about, well, being up at 6 in the morning and then working till 6, and we're a startup and we tend to work long hours. And since I've had this, you know, more especially my meditation, my practices, has been a lot longer, I started thinking, that's really going to cut that down. And I didn't want to work 12 hours some of these days anyway, period. But I have another opportunity with someone I know to work part-time and continue on a part-time job also, less money, probably significantly less, but passable, and I'd be working from home, I'd be working hard, but I'd have some of my own hours, and there are advantages there, and it's very good, right livelihood. It's environmentally very positive. It definitely is there. At the same time, I'm working at home, and I tend to get at times distracted. So there's these, what do I do? And I was just kind of being there with,
With the question.
I've already addressed it. I actually talked with the recruiter from the startup and said, look, I don't want to work those hours. I'm not a 25-year-old anymore, and it's not, you know, we need some flexibility here, some balance in my life. And she said she totally understood that and actually went back to this person and talked to them about that. So I'm still, the present moment is, it still hasn't been resolved. And what's nice is this, I think that what I've gotten out of the practice, especially these last months, and has been just to kind of let things happen and let things unfold.
Now, how did you feel as you sat there with this question?
It's kind of a little bit uneasy, but also a little bit satisfied that I'm okay with the uneasiness.
Uh-huh, good, okay.
Here I am uneasy. It's not like I have to have an answer. It's not like I better have an answer by the bell ring or, you know, I'm in trouble. Right. We demand an answer here now.
And that actually points to another aspect of this kind of exploration, that often it's helpful to take this kind of exploration over a period of time, particularly with something like this, where it's a decision or an ongoing exploration. It can be really interesting to do this kind of exploration at different times, you know, do it, you know, every day for a couple weeks. And another thing I suggest for people sometimes is, after doing this reflection, to make some notes. You know, what did you recognize? What did you feel? And to just be completely non-judgmental about what it was. Just record what you noticed after you've gone through this exploration. And just record it down and then let it go for that day. And then come back to it for, you know, every day for a week or so. And then after a period of time, go back and look through your notes and see what kinds of threads or themes that you've noticed there. So, yeah, I mean, this kind of thing, it can help just put in that meditative perspective in the kind of ongoing questions in our life, to not necessarily have to choose to make a decision or to feel like we have to use the meditation to make a decision, but to allow that kind of wellspring of intuition to also be present as we reflect on these questions. So it is helpful to do this over a period of time with the same theme. Or what might happen is that you start with one way of exploring it, and then over time you start to realize, oh, it might be helpful to explore it this way. And so you kind of change how the exploration works. And creativity with this practice is fine. I mean, it does not have to be the way I've described it. I mean, I made this up. I mean, I made this one up today. I didn't know how it was going to come out. I had thought about it a different way, and then it came out this way. So, okay, well, this is what we're doing. So, you know, it really is fine to be creative about how you explore with this tool.
I know what you should do with your struggle, but I don't know what I should do with mine. I had a plumbing problem last week. The bathroom sinks were backing up, but it was time to get dinner. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just push the snake down there, and it'll be all through in 5 minutes, and everything will be cool. Not so. I made it worse first. and on and on. But what the real struggle was about is that I got very angry at this situation. Something I do from time to time, and the anger was way out of proportion to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some, quote, technical challenges. When I opened up the clean out, the hole in the wallboard was too small to get anything around it, so that it, when I unscrewed the plug, the water was dripping down the inside of the wallboard and various other nice things. Well, I eventually solved it, but not... I eventually solved the plumbing problem, but not the anger problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought about it this morning, a few minutes ago, I could feel in my back that it was softening a bit, but I don't have any confidence that it won't arise in much the same way the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And
when I asked about the bringing a Dharma perspective to the situation, what happened for you?
I wasn't able to find a Dharma perspective on this one.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Other than to say that if I were to breathe...
There you go.
Things would calm down. But see, I want prevention.
We have to start with where we are. And so, you know, breathing is a great Dharma medicine for whatever is happening. So we have to, I mean, the way things unfold for us is that, you know, we have these habits of anger in your case. You know, it's a habitual pattern, apparently, for you, that you get angry. And you're very practiced at that.
Yes,
you've
indeed.
Been practicing it for a long time. And so... it's not going to just stop with one thought, one Dharma thought, oh, this anger is unskillful, or, you know, this anger is not necessary. I mean, that this level of anger is not necessary for the situation. You can tell yourself that, but the habit of anger is so strong that thought is not going to do too much to counteract that wave of that momentum of that pattern.
Yeah.
So... we have to respect and acknowledge that the pattern is there. And from my own experience, the willingness to meet with breathing or just trying to be there, staying connected, the willingness to meet those patterns over and over and over again begins to allow us to soften around them. And in my own experience, what that practice did was it kind of pointed out to me the initial stages of the anger so that I could become aware of it before it got to that out of proportion, blown out of control kind of anger. And so it was a little easier to manage at that point. And so the preventative part, you know, the preventative medicine is actually taking the being willing to take in the experience in the here and now and meet it with whatever it is. And it's a slow medicine. It's a slow medicine, but it is an effective one.
Did I mention that I swore a lot during this?
One thing you might...
And the windows were open because it was a warm day, so I'm sure my neighbors heard it too.
One way you could maybe, here's a Dharma piece that you could bring in for this situation. In the future, I mean, breathing is great, bringing that in, allowing yourself to bring that piece in. See if you can, even feeling the anger, maintain at least the verbal resolve to yourself that you won't let it come out verbally. Don't try to stop it up internally, but see if you can notice before it comes out verbally, because that actually reinforces the pattern. So that's a place to kind of begin. That might be a place to kind of a gross experience that you might be able to pull back on a little bit.
Linda. Hi. I pretty much forgot the second response, but the first one was when I was sitting up really erect and I was alert for the word. I was going to work with it and do it right. And when you said kindness, I was like, oh. And I allowed myself to relax a little bit and thought, oh, I'm not going to be judged on how well I do this work. And so that was kind of nice. And then, I just wanted to relax and not even think about it.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
My problem is that I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's unskillful and not even noticing it. I just try harder. And I keep getting into situations that are just so similar and repetitive. And an example is that my car lock broke on my driver's side. It just was not working. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go to the dealer. It's going to cost a lot of money. Da-da-da. I'll have to climb in through the passenger seat, you know, on and on. And so finally I thought to ask a friend, a couple of friends, who might know something about it. And they said, well, have you tried WD-40? And have you tried a different key? And so I reached in my purse all the way down to the bottom, pulled out the key, the second key that I'd never used, and tried that immediately, and it worked better. And compared them. They were different colors because the one I'd been using had worn off whatever. It was down to the second layer of color. And then I put the WD-40 in the lock, and now I've got a new lock and a new key that's never been used. And so I just have to keep remembering to try it differently sooner.
Mm-hmm. And be kind to yourself that you don't remember sooner. That as soon as you remember that, appreciate the fact that you've remembered to try a different way whenever that memory has come up. So,
and so for the second meditation, I don't remember anything.
Okay, that's fine. Anyone else? Yes, Sue.
You know, my sister, 81 year old, and I went to a restaurant and have a lunch Sunday. And she's a multitask person. Okay, completely different than our practice. And she doesn't hear. She cuts, you know, the conversation all the time. And so, again, now she was in the mood and the things are cutting, and she's just suggesting do this or whatever. It's just so many words came out, a different subject, and came. And then she gets getting more angrier by her talking to something. And so I was, after that, then I thought, oh, I should have, I couldn't even stop it because she goes full speed.
Where was your struggle?
My struggle at that time was, what's going on? You know, my tempo, she doesn't even like my tempo because I'm slower. And I'm saying, come, stop, stop doing. And I told her at the time, you are attacking. I said, you're attacking. And then she stopped, finally. But the whole the lunch was just attacking all that. After that, she stopped. It was her, she wasn't easy, same way.
And in the meditation, when you brought this up, what did you experience?
Now I was actually experienced that compassion.
Uh-huh.
Very, very surprisingly, how come compassion came in?
Uh-huh.
Compassion.
Uh-huh.
Very compassionate. I feel sorry for her. Very, very, very sorry. And so it came out. To me is a feeling of more caring her doing this way, her doing this way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she was calling me yesterday and she suggests me to do things and this and that. And I say, thank you for the suggestion, but I cannot take that one. And she cuts off again. And I was wondering if I could ask her. I didn't have a chance to ask her at the lunch. That what is going on? There wasn't any chance.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you attacking all this time? But she's that way anyway, so,
So when I suggested, so you had the feeling of compassion, when you thought of bringing that, did you do the part or did it connect for you about bringing that compassion into that encounter with her? And how was that?
What was that, the last words?
When I suggested that you take the wisdom and bring it back into the encounter. So that would mean taking that compassion back into that lunch meeting. How did you respond, or did you not do that part?
Last part, I should have, I'd like to do that.
Okay, so you didn't do that part.
Uh-huh. So there's the compassion part, I have to bring back that event.
Yes. Then. So with the compassion in mind, it's like you're almost, you're walking into the situation equipped with the tools, some of the tools that might support you to struggle less in the situation. So, envisioning that, how that might happen.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. So,
I think that sort of maybe her peace of mind a little bit. And I will be much better too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Excellent. Thanks.
So it's time to stop. So I hope this has been useful. Thank you.